Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Hopefully you're having a blessed day, a blessed week. It's so good to be here today. Amen. I've got my coffee with me here. Man, it's some good stuff. Burundi, I think is how you say it, from Africa. It's some good stuff. Enjoying a little bit of coffee here. Just spending time with you, making time for the Lord, making God a priority. And I'll say this as we get into Genesis chapter 5. I'll say this. Making God a priority is a good thing. Amen. And so you listening to this, you have decided to make God a priority. I thank you for that. And when we look at this scripture here in Genesis 4 and going into Genesis 5 now, we see that Adam and Eve, you know, they were so blessed, and maybe it was they were in a way cursed from their blessings because they were just like, you know, living prosperously. They didn't make God a priority, because if they had, they would have listened to him when he said, don't eat of that tree, and sin would have never entered the picture. But again, it's not just them, it's us today. And oftentimes we are just too busy to make time for God. And that is foolishness, because he created us. How could we be too busy for our creator? You know, it's mentioned in the hymns. In the, oh, what needless pain we bear, right? That hymn, it just reminds me so much what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That's it right there. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. What needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. When you make God a priority, and this is something that is for the believer, even for the sold out Christian, making God a priority, saying, God, I want to make you a priority every part of the day, you know, in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. I want to be intentional. I want to be in your word and studying. Not try to be Superman, not try to like do anything. You know, people say, oh, you read your Bible in a week. No, sometimes I tell my wife I might spend a long time on a verse. I might spend, a day or two on a verse. I may spend an hour praying over a chapter or two. You know, it's not how quick you do it. It's that you do it. And it's how often that you are reading the word and making God a priority, that fruit will come of that. See, people want to live holy and then go to God. That's impossible. We are sinners in need of a holy God. So when we go to a holy God, he works within our heart to make us more holy. That's the idea of sanctification, right? That's the idea of consecration, you know, being consecrated to God, getting rid of the bad stuff. And guess what? You want to do something for God? You got to partake in this exercise early and often. And my wife was asked to teach a youth class recently, and she's not the teaching type, if you would. And I told her, I said, it's a blessing, because you will learn more than you ever imagined if you have to teach it, because you have to know it well, so you have to teach it. So it's a great blessing when we're called to teach. And here we are getting into the word, and I'm going to touch on a few points, and then we're going to move directly into Genesis 5, which is a genealogy, if you will, from the line of Seth. But a few points cleaning up last episode. We have Seth's son is named Enos. So we have Adam, Seth, Enos. People begin to call upon God. So we have here in just three generations a comparison, right? Because you had Adam, then you had Cain, right? And then you had wickedness, right? And now we see Adam and Seth, and then we see Enos and people calling upon God. So in just three generations, we see sin abound, and we see in three generations righteousness abounding too. And so God's able to kind of start over, which is really prophetic because he literally is going to start over in the time of Noah, which we're going to get to soon. He's going to wipe the slate clean. And as we read this, oftentimes we read it, rightfully so, kind of chronologically, just at face value. But God, operating in the scope of eternity, knew what he was going to do. So he's almost foretelling what he's going to do. He said, okay, this line of Cain is an evil line. And we see that not just with Cain, but we see it in the city they built. We see it in their lawlessness and godlessness. And we see it certainly in Lamech and his boastfulness. And that's, you know, we see that line taper off. You search up, you know, line of Cain, search that up and look at the charts. And it tapers off very quickly because of their wickedness. And yet we see in the line of Seth, it going all the way to Noah. And we know Noah's delivered from the flood, again, which is a picture of Christ delivering us from our sins. And then we also see, of course, that Jesus eventually comes from that line as well. And whereas we see with Cain, you have Cain, Enoch, Irad, Mahuel, Methuselah, Lamech, and then his children, Jabal, Jabul, and Tubal-Cain, and that's pretty much it. You know, we're not getting a whole lot after that. As so we see here, God starting afresh, and we see here another thing, which I'm going to pull up in my notes. Sorry, I'm kind of clicking through my notes here. We see here another thing. Could this be the beginning of prayer? Because we see in verse 26, to Seth, to him, there was also born, and he called his name Enos, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And so it says, then began men. Well, that means there was previously, before that, not a beginning of men to do that. To call upon the name of the Lord. We know that the Lord spoke to people, but he could have been like summoning them, right? Like, hey, Adam and Eve, where are you, right? Hey, Cain, where is your brother, right? We see this relationship of God being the one initiating the conversation and being this direct one to conversate with. And we understand that sin separates us from God. So we have with Cain in that line a lot of separation from God. And then we see now with Seth and his line a calling out to God, which would make sense because I don't know about you, but in my lost state, there were many times I would call out to God. I might try to say something bad or do something bad to see if God was going to rain down thunder or whatever. I mean, we're just wondering, God, where are you? Right. But, oh, he's very near, you know, and you wonder, well, how can I get close to God? The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. So you spend time in God's word, not just listening to this program, but praying over the word, reading the word. And it's not too difficult. Amen. I've heard it said, oh, I don't, you know, King James is difficult, these and thous. You know, it's not. I'm someone, like, if you took me to a complicated movie with like a complicated plot, I would have to ask you to explain it to me. Okay. I'm not anybody special, but what I did was I devoted myself. I'll tell you this and then we'll go to break. I don't want to get too behind, but I used to subscribe to all these newspapers because I was working in a field where I had to stay up to date on stuff. And I literally was like, I'm somebody that's zero or everything, you know, nothing in between. I had USA Today and Wall Street Journal, New York Times. I had it all coming to my house. And this was before all the politicization of the media, so to speak, where the media was at least resembling something less biased than it is today. Okay. I won't even go there today. I think they're all kind of corrupt. But I was getting it all, you know, and I was reading it. And after like a couple of years, maybe, number one, I mean, there was newspapers all over my house. You know, my wife's like, this looks kind of crazy. But number two, I felt like I was reading the same story over and over again. And at the same time, for some reason, I couldn't find that much time to study the Bible. And this was, again, many years ago. But I said, you know what? I'm going to forsake all this. I'm going to cancel all these subscriptions because I'm just reading the same story, basically the wages of sin, if you would. I'm reading that over and over again. And I'm going to devote my time to reading the Bible. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to study the Bible with that time I had already allotted to read this other stuff because that's God's holy word. And as I studied the Bible, the Lord allowed me to see things and it really blew me away as I studied and prayed and studied and prayed and studied and prayed. And it was a joy to do that. And to this day, that's what I do. There's not a single newspaper being dropped in my driveway. If you subscribe to a newspaper, there's nothing wrong with you. I'm someone that's very curious about what's happening and so forth. And I might try to peek at the headlines as I walk by one. There's nothing wrong with reading the newspaper. But what is wrong is if we put, God's word on the side and will read anything and everything. And this example may be antiquated to someone younger. They're like, what do you mean a newspaper? You mean like an app? No, I actually used to get the paper because they used to print it. But maybe it's the app. Maybe it's the social media feed. And could you imagine for some folks if they just got off social media? And I recommend it. My wife got off many years ago. I got off some years ago. Get off social media completely and devote that time to reading the Bible. You see, we should make time to make God a priority. I think I've hit that enough. We're going to take a break and we're going to get to Genesis 5 when we come back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
All right, so in the time we have left, let's mention here that, you know, man's starting to pray to God. Man could be worshiping God at this point. And then we see in Genesis 5, the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them, and he blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness and after his image and called his name Seth. Okay, that's so he had Seth at 130. And again, if we're looking at Adam as being the first human created by God, then we're seeing the timeline stamped in place, a waymark, if you will, of 130 years between Adam and the godly line of Seth. Now, there was a godly line to be from Abel, but he was killed. Okay, so presumably, you got to believe that Cain and Abel obviously had been born previous. So Cain and Abel were born before 130 years. And there was probably kids in between there, not to confuse things. But the one important one that God wants us to know about here in Genesis 5, verse 4 is Seth, right? We see that 130 years. And so now what we look at is, let's see here, Adam's life. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. That's verse 5. So it says in verse 4, and the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. So we know he had kids. We believe he had kids prior to Seth and after Seth, and they had a bunch of kids. I mean, how many kids can you have in 900 years? I don't know. I mean, I live in a rural place, and I'm not trying to crack jokes, but some people have a lot of kids, and they're not even that old here, you know? Like, and you say, is that a rural place? Yeah, it is. Like, you know, growing up near a city, people, like, waited to have kids, and they were, like, very careful about it. You know, they might have, like, one kid at, like, 40 or something. And you come out here, and people are, you know, coming out of high school and building up big families, which is awesome in a lot of ways, as long as you can handle that. I've got, you know, three, and that's about all I can handle. But guess what? Adam had a bunch of kids. Adam and Eve had a bunch of kids. We have Seth at this point, and we see here that Adam lived a really long time, right? I mean, think about this. If Adam lived 930 years, right? And if Jesus was crucified in 33 AD-ish, that right around then it would be roughly 2.13 of Adam's lifetimes from then to catch us up till now, right? So think about this. We look at it like, oh, Christ, you know, he was crucified 2,000 some years ago, right? Oh, that was so long ago. Well, literally, it was Adam's lifetime plus times two, right? That's crazy to think about. That's the scope of his life, you know, to think. It's just amazing, you know, like kids in this generation, they've always had a phone. Kids in my generation, we always had some kind of computer. It wasn't always connected to the internet, but we had some kind of computer. You know, kids in the previous generation probably always had some kind of TV, right? And the previous one, they always had like a radio. But you keep going back and you say four or five, six generations, there was none of that, right? And we start thinking of Adam and you start thinking of him living that long, how sophisticated it must have been pre-flood. You know, how sophisticated society, every once in a while they make an archaeological find they can't figure out. They'll find like a robotic sundial or something that's way too advanced. And they'll say, we think this is really old, but we can't figure out how it would, you know, would have been at that time. Because the narrative is totally wrong, that man lived millions of years and they were in a cave spitting at each other. No. You know, the earth has been around, as far as we can tell, by the book, by God's book, it's 6,000-7,000 years old. And guess what? One man lived almost 1,000 years. And you can see what he would have seen is probably unbelievable. And we're going to get to more of that in the next episode. But just using what God tells us through his word, that this is when Seth was born, right? And then this is when he died. and that they had many kids, we can clearly see that Adam and Eve populated the earth. They were fruitful as God called them to be. Tune in next time. Thank you for listening. Take care. God bless. Amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow. Same time, same place.